This is Melbourne calling. Welcome to Granny Bingo Wireless. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. Toodle-pip!
Hey, come over here, go over there. Don't be scared now, yeah. Lift up your head, hold out your hand. Pull up your pants now, why did you pull down your pants? We only just met, but that's why I like you. People connecting, grandma's laughing. Nostalgia and ethnic dancing.
And that was Wet Pussy and Ass by Cardi B. Something for our younger listeners. And hello to all of you, regardless of your age. I don't see age. That's me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Granny Bingo Wireless. My name is Ms. Edith Vale, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, best friend in the entire world, Mrs. Maureen McGillicuddy. How are you, Maureen?
I'm as bad as fabulous as Mardi Gras.
But a lot more acceptable in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Maureen, it's been a whole week since the last podcast, and we've had some fabulous feedback from that podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing in, everybody. What have you been up to since last week, love?
Oh, I have been non-stop. It's coming so close to Christmas, of course, and, you know, you just reach that point where the thought of children and screaming and yelling just makes you want to die. I've been trying to do things for me. But in the midst of all of that, I had to go grocery shopping. And I must say, Edith, I have shopped my last weekly shop at Coles.
You've been a Coles New World girl for as long as I know you. What's happened?
I'm as loyal as Peter Hitchener is to Channel 9 News, to Coles. But I'll be shopping not at Aldi. I don't understand Aldi. I'll be shopping at Safeway from now on, I think, because they're the fresh food people and I've got a fresh food attitude. The attitude I don't have is for Coles and what I read about them this week online. I went onto one of my forums and you know how I don't like these robots working at the front counter.
No. Yeah.
Nor do I like the self-serve checkouts. And I read this week that I'm now going to be expected to unload all of the trucks at the back dock too. So you go in for a bunch of grapes or some chilies or some panty liners, some Anusol, some wart cream, some Devon from the deli. And hello, Jan, if you're listening at my local Carl's Deli. Gorgeous woman, always has the time to chat. But I will not be stacking pallets and moving crates of milk through the back door. No way, no.
Next, they'll be expecting you to pay for the items as well, Maureen. It's shocking. Listeners, Cole seems to think that the people shoplifting from there is the youth. The youth have nothing to do with it. They wouldn't know how to shoplift if they tried. Maureen is probably the number one cause of loss at Coles. I've never seen anyone that can smuggle out three entire rotisserie chickens when she went in there, and that was on a summer afternoon. You were only in your togs and a beach towel. It was very impressive.
Yes, well, people don't look twice at my bum these days. And let me tell you, after 90 years, I really know how to steal. People that are in jail for stealing just don't know how to do it. And that'll be my next podcast that I'm starting, is how to steal without getting caught. Court with Maureen McGillicuddy. I've avoided jail weekly.
Well, I'll be sad to see you leave this one, but I was thinking about kicking you off anyway.
Thank you. What have you been doing?
I've been a bit of a lazy Larry the last week. I've been watching a lot of television, which I don't normally do. I try to avoid the idiot box, but I've got my Christmas shopping done early. I don't really have anyone to buy for except for you. And I've already ordered your case of Anusol, so I just decided to plonk myself in front of the idiot box. I've been watching a lot of reality television, because that's all they seem to make these days is reality television. What do you think about reality television?
I don't watch a lot of TV. The only reality TV I watch is Home and Away, because I can relate to that, because I live in an aged care facility and they live at the beach. So I sort of see a lot of myself. That's real TV. But I told her last week, maybe the week before, I watch Big Brother Uncut.
You do, yes.
That's reality TV. But yep. Otherwise, you know, I like the competition shows. But otherwise, I think it's a rancid load of shit, reality
right,
TV.
Right, fair enough. Yeah. I don't mind it. I'm not, I don't love it, but I don't mind it. I think it's more of a sign of the times, really, if you sort of think about our generation and today's generation. Of course, we never had reality television when we were young, and that's because reality was very different. I think The Simple Life would be a very different show if people were dying of cholera still.
Yes.
Or if your father and your uncle and your grandfather and all of the men in your family jumped out of a building due to the Great Depression, or
yes,
they were sent off to fight at war and they didn't have their phones with them so they couldn't TikTok it or something like that. Or if the birth rate was 50% success rate. Or,
you know, or for example, who wants to sit down, you know, Monday, Tuesday and Sunday nights to watch people die of dysentery and shit themselves and have
exactly.
blood go everywhere? You don't want to
exactly.
see it. It was happening.
Exactly, no. They tried it on I'm a Celebrity, it didn't work. So I think reality television, it sort of shows that life's a bit easier now.
Yeah.
If this is what people have to worry about, oh, is my cake going to come out looking okay? Or am I going to be able to renovate this house? Can I live in this place with these random blokes with big willies up late? So, yeah, I think it's more about generational differences and that sort of thing. But I have been trying to expand the Granny Bingo empire. Of course, we have our live shows and we have our podcast, and we're hoping to branch into a few other mediums. So I've been going around and pitching some new reality television programs some of the... No worries, love. Well, I thought better than sitting at home watching the shit on the television, I might as well be making the shit on the television.
You're so right.
So I went in. I've met with a few stations. I've met with Channel O down in Nunawading the other day, and I left a few messages with Reg Grundy. I'm hoping to hear back from him soon. And I'm going to go door knock at GTV 9 next week, I think.
In Richmond there. Yeah, good. I'm not sure if they're still in that building, but...
I'll knock on the door
make
and
a day
see
of it.
Anyway.
Make a day of it, yeah.
Because I have some fabulous ideas for new shows for us. Keen listeners will have heard me a few weeks ago talking about that horrible program on the ABC called Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. It is shocking. It's horrible. These lovely old people are enjoying the last few years of their life in silence, sitting there stoically as they have for 90-odd years, and these 4-year-olds are sent in to terrorise them, and they make them get up and walk around and finger paint and talk about their feelings. Oh. It is shocking. Shocking. And
you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you put old people and 4-year-olds in the same room? I mean, how many nappies would you have in storage for that?
And it's kind of offensive to old people. We find that offensive. That's sort of like appropriating our culture. So I thought it'd be nice if we had some reality TV programs that sort of went in the old people's favour, if you know what I mean. So,
okay.
I've pitched a couple. I've got the folder here. Let me have a look. Here's one I thought of. Old People's Home for Beer Brewers. So you could have beer brewers come into the nursing home. They could brew some beer. They could give the beer to us and we drink it.
Yeah,
that sounds like a show you'd watch.
If that doesn't get picked up, the industry's dead.
Okay. Old People's Home for the people that make cherry ripes. Similar concept. People that make cherry ripes come into the nursing home here in front of us. They'll make some cherry ripes and we get to eat the cherry ripes.
So it's fresh cherry ripes. I mean, that's a lot. That's what people would watch.
And wait till you see Old People's Home for people who make cherry ripes up late, where Maureen gets dirty with some chocolate ears. What else have I got here? Oh, this one's a nice one. Old People's Home for Male Strippers. That could be a lot of fun, I think. We just have male strippers come into the nursing home and strip for us. And we can sort of sit there and go, Yes, that's a 7 out of 10. Very nice. Next, please.
Yes.
Now, or maybe we could have a chair that sort of spins around. We could probably borrow Elsie's chair down in room 42. She's had a problem with her chair. It won't stop spinning around, so we could borrow that. So, yeah, that's just some ideas I've been having for a reality television programme.
I like it.
Perhaps if any of our listeners have any ideas for any shows, jump on the line. We'll get you on air 13 13 32 if you want to give us a call.
Thanks.
Let us know what you think Edith and Maureen should be hosting on television.
What about this one? Old people's home for recent migrants who have arrived in Australia. Stay with me on this one. We have a whole family who came here by whatever means. I mean, that's none of my business. And they sit down on a couch and they have you and me and Caroline sitting in our little dog bed. And we ask them questions, but we speak very slowly.
To be more accepting and accommodating, yes.
And there's a segment called, I'm not quite sure how to say this in your language. And that's where we say Australianisms, you know, things that only cobbers would know. That might be a good idea.
Yeah, and maybe a segment called That's Too Spicy for Me, where they offer us some foreign food, maybe some pizza or bratwursts or something like that. And I say, no, thank you, that's too spicy.
No, I like where this is going, Edith. It's funny. I mean, I'm a humble kind of person. I don't like talking myself up. But I was actually on the first ever reality show in Australia.
Yes, you were a pioneer of the format, really, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm the first and probably the only person who is as famous as I am who started on reality TV. Maybe it's me and Chrissy Swans, but this was a time before, well, when was it? 19... Well, my dad moved away and left us all alone in 1948.
1952, right, yes.
Now, this is a time before television.
Of course.
Those little kiddies listening, you know, who have got their CDs all stacked up and living the high-tech lifestyle, there was, at one point in time, no television.
No television.
And we only had the wireless, and we'd all sit around like a family in the living room on the rug, and we'd listen to the magical voices come out of the little box. And they did a reality radio show. It was called Listen Up. And it was sort of like, what was that show that was on a few years ago? Big Brother. I don't know if you ever watched that, Edith, but it's similar to Big Brother Uncut. So essentially, I was 24 hours a day for 3 months. People could tune in at any time and listen to what was going on in the house. But I was alone. It was just me. We had an intruder. An intruder came in. And the intruder... I had to call for the constabulary. There was a robber. I mean, that was an intruder, I suppose, is the right word. Someone was trying to rob my house during listening. Anyway, so that was the fifth week. But largely it was just silent. I wouldn't talk to myself. People could hear me sing. People could hear me wash up in the kitchen sink. People could listen to me go to the lav.
Give your undercarriage a bit of a scrub.
That was quite audible by all accounts. The Film and Sound Archive in Canberra has kept a copy of Maureen's reality show, Listen In. All 3 months of it is available.
Listen Up, I think it was called.
Listen Up, that's what it was called. Whatever right, it was yeah. called. Go to the, if you're in Canberra at some point, go to the Film and Sound Archives. Go to the little girl in the reception there and say to her, I'm looking for a recording of Listen Up or Listen In. We're not quite sure what it was called.
Yes.
But ask her at the reception and she will no doubt be able to pull the tape out and give you a copy of that riveting listening. And like I said, it was the birth of the format, reality format, and I was there.
If it wasn't for you, Paris Hilton wouldn't have a career
That's
now.
That's right. And if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have Reggie.
Yes, you wouldn't have Chrissy.
Yep, and you wouldn't have hot dogs. You wouldn't have hot dogs.
Hot dogs, yep. You wouldn't have Paul's show.
Paul's Racing, yeah. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have... Well, exactly right, Edith. What would all these LGBT people.
You're really the mother of drag.
I'm the mother, Henny.
Maureen threw the first brick, metaphorically, really.
Oh, not just metaphorically, Edith. I was there. I'm presuming you're talking about the Stonewall riot.
Stonewall, the gay people.
I was on holidays in New York. I was sitting across the road in an Italian joint having some spaghetti. And they were just being noisy. So I threw a brick at them.
Right.
That's how that... Anyway, they thought they were fighting and rioting in the streets against someone else. They should have been coming for me. They wouldn't hurt me. I'm a reality radio star.
And now it's time to have a look through the paper and see what's been happening around the world. We need a name for this segment, Maureen.
It could be called Nana's News.
Nana's News, very good. All right, here you go. You can read some headlines out for us.
Bloody Gaza's still in the news. Kelly Osborne's horrific family confession. Not much to confess.
No, we already knew that,
There have been more than 500 e-scooter accidents in Melbourne during the e-scooter trial.
I absolutely love e-scooters because I don't like young people.
Right.
And young people ride e-scooters. And,
What else is in here? Robo-debt recovery scheme is under review. What the hell does that mean?
What's that? I've no idea.
Robo-debt recovery scheme. I know.
What is
that's it? That's the new movie about RoboCop.
Oh, right.
I think.
The sequel, right.
Yeah.
Well, they're remaking everything now.
They've run out of ideas. Yeah. What else? Here we go. 41 miners have been rescued after being trapped for 17 days.
What a waste of resources. I'm so sick of this. We lose a few miners, everyone goes nuts, we have to save, I just can't stand them. Miners, they're always ruining my dinner. I go out for a nice dinner at a restaurant, they're running around, screaming, flailing their arms around in the air. And I'm allowed to say it.
Yeah.
Maureen, I can see you sighing and rolling your eyes. I gave birth to 4 of them, all right, and I never liked any of them. They always make a mess when they eat. You know, they're shit at colouring in. They can't even stay in the lines. I hate miners, all right.
But I'm talking about miners, you know, like people that work in mines.
Oh, miners. M-I-N-E-R-S, not O-R-S. Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. How horrible. Yeah. Oh, no, that's fantastic. I think miners are great. I'm heavily invested in non-renewable resources. I couldn't buy more coal shares if I tried.
Yeah. Edith's Tramp Stamp says, burn it and churn it.
Exactly. Oh, good on them. Yay. Hurrah, hurrah.
But they do. They are messy when they eat and they cannot colour in. Either.
No, they can't.
Yeah. What else? There's a new report. I love these new reports. Every day there's a new report. A new report that shows that Australians are drinking less than when they were in lockdown. No shit, Sherlock.
You know, it's funny. I was woke up. When was it? Last Sunday, I think it was. And I was gasping for a drink. You know, I thought, I'm so thirsty, I really could do with a drink. So I went to the liquor cabinet here at the nursing home that we're at, the Areola Gardens, and it was empty. Listeners, you might not be aware of this, but we've had a recent sort of run of theft in the nursing home. It just started with little things. Biscuits going missing from the kitchen or socks going missing from the laundry. In fact, only the other day one of the nurses accused me of stealing the thesaurus from the library. Well, not only was I shocked, I was a gob. I was aghast. I was dismayed. I was completely bewildered by the accusation.
In other words, she was very upset.
I was. Anyway, so I thought, I'll have to get the booze somewhere else. So I thought I'd go and buy some. I went for a drive down to the shops here in Mordialloc, but they're all closed, of course, because it's a Sunday morning, and the government likes to tell me when it's appropriate to drink and when it's not. So I went all over Melbourne. Oh, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. and forth. Well, eventually I thought, Edith, this is sad. It's 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You're catching trams left, right and centre.
Looking for a grog shop.
I thought, time to do something you should have done a long time ago. So I called the Alcoholics Anonymous support line. They have a peer support line that they...
Good on you. I'm that proud of you, and everyone listening will be that proud of you.
Thank
too,
you, Maureen.
That, making that move.
Thank you, Maureen. I thought it was very smart of me. These people on the line are people that have gone through alcoholism and that sort of thing. So I called up and this bird answered. I said, hello, love. I said, look, I'm really struggling. I said, it's 7 a.m. Sunday morning and I'm sitting in the gutter outside of the one and only bottle shop that's open in Melbourne. And she said, oh, you poor thing, the one over on Anchor Drive in the Docklands. I said, Anchor Drive in the Docklands, thank you very much. And I jumped on the tram and I raced down there to the little Dan Murphy's on Anchor Drive in the Docklands. And, well, I was having a look around in there and getting my bits and pieces, and this young bloke tapped me on the shoulder. He said, oh, excuse me, madam. He said, do you need help? I said, yes, I do, but at my age it's easier to keep drinking. You know? Anyway, so I went back. I went back to the home and I had a bit of a drink. And I don't feel bad about it, Maureen, because, of course, I've been having some relationship difficulties. My husband, my listeners will know I'm married, of course, and my second husband I'm on to at the moment, Pasco Vale. Pasco, he's a Spanish bloke. He's starting to lose his hearing, which is difficult. We went into the doctors, Dr. O'Malley, the family doctor, and had a few tests done. And Dr. O'Malley said, I'm sorry to tell you this, Pasco, but you're going deaf. And Pasco turned to me and said, well, that was hard to hear. And now a word from one of our sponsors.
The loss of a furry friend can be devastating for the whole family. Saying goodbye to a good boy is one of the most traumatic experiences anyone can go through. Whether you're 9 or 90. Say goodbye to goodbyes and donate today to the RSPTA. At the Royal Society for the Protection of Taxidermy Australia, we take deceased pets from the disadvantaged and turn them into hilarious ornaments so their memory can be kept alive forever. Have a chuckle every time you see Fluffy perched on the TV with a fishing rod, or scare guests at parties when they find nibbles at the bottom of a bowl of chips.
Yeah, when me Roddy Kylie got hit by the Google streetcar, I was devo, but the RSPTA stuffed her and put her in a tutu, and now she's in the kids' bedroom in a ballet pose. That's actually quite funny.
Donate today to the Royal Society for the Protection of Taxidermy Australia and give a struggling Aussie family a stiff one.
Welcome back, and now it's time for our regular segment, Agony Grands, where we take letters from our listeners and solve their problems for them. Maureen, would you like to read the first letter?
Sure, let me just open up the envelope. Hello, ladies. I recently moved to the Gold Coast for work. Mm. The workplace isn't very social, and I don't really know anyone here. You seem like outgoing people, so I thought you might have some suggestions on how to meet new people. And that's from Jen in Beenleigh. That's in the Gold Coast.
It is just in the Gold Coast, I think, Jen. You're pushing the boundaries there ever so slightly, Jen, but no, it is. Jen, I can't imagine where you've moved from to consider the Gold Coast a step up from where you were, but I pity the life that you've led so far if this is an opportunity for you moving to the Gold Coast. It's difficult for me, Jen, because really the only person I've been friends with, I've really had a conversation with over the last 70-odd years has been Maureen. But I think Maureen met a friend down at the supermarket, at the deli. You seem to make friends wherever you go, Maureen. What's your secret?
People love me. I probably my first suggestion is to become me. When I meet people for the first time, I always offer my hand to shake it and say, it's very nice to meet you. And one of two things happens. They laugh, Or they throw up.
To be fair, Maureen, they only throw up when you stick your hand out to seek it and you haven't washed it after applying the anisole. But yes, I understand where you're coming from.
I take both of those with a lot of joy because that means I've created an emotional connection with that person. I know that they've seen me. And they've made an assumption, or they've quickly figured out what I'm all about. So, first of all, Jen, what I'd say is, don't be too neurotic about how people react to you. Secondly, and probably more so in the case that you just mentioned about the lady at the deli that I've become friends with, is to order the ham that's already been sliced. Maybe that's an analogy for everything in life, I'm not really sure. But, you know, don't make it difficult for them. When I first met the girl at the deli, I said to her, I'd like it freshly sliced, please. And she said, oh, madam, I sliced it fresh this morning. I said, oh, I've watched A Current Affair, darling. I know how you people do it. It's first in, first out, etc., etc. And we got off to a bad start. I had to go in there the next day. And I said, hello, my friend. I'll have the ham in the cabinet. Thank you. So take from that what you will. Jen.
And Maureen has gone back in there every single day and ordered a kilo of ham since, haven't you, Maureen?
A kilo of ham every single day. I get half a kilo shaved, half a kilo sliced, and she knows I'm coming. That's what a real friend is. A real friend is someone who knows, who they can preempt what you want. So maybe try and do that for people, Jen. Preempt what people might want. Look at somebody walking down the street. They might be carrying their groceries. Maybe preempt that they want you to come over for a cup of tea and just follow them home. Preempt that someone at the movies might want to talk about the movie as soon as it's finished, and you just walk up, go sit next to them and say, hey, what did you think? Preempt maybe that people need help when they're trying on shoes in a shop and walk up and talk to them and say, hi there, can I help you put your shoes on? Go to the Melbourne airport or the Gold Coast airport and preempt that family, as I have done many times, that family who is arriving in Australia for the first time from somewhere overseas, preempt that they don't know the language, preempt that they wouldn't know how Australia works, and talk to them. I've got a reality show coming out very soon that you might be able to watch and pick up a few lessons on that one specifically. I don't know, I could talk for hours on this subject. I'm an expert friend maker. What about you, Edith? You seem to be socially disadvantaged. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm reading Jen's letter and I'm thinking maybe there's more in it, you know. She's in the Gold Coast. Maybe we need to be thinking specifically of things that Jen could do on the Gold Coast. So perhaps when you're standing in the queue for the Scooby-Doo Scooby Coaster at Movie World on the Gold Coast, Jen, you could chat to the bloke next to you. Say, have you been on the Scooby-Doo Coaster at Movie World on the Gold Coast before, sir? And that will get the conversation flowing. Maybe when you're coming out of the terrifying twisted double tube tunnel twirl at Wet and Wild on the Gold Coast, you could go, ah, hello, to the person in the tube next to you.
I shit myself on that ride.
Perhaps when you're watching some of the dolphins being tortured at SeaWorld, you could say to the person next to you, feel like seafood tonight? It's just little things like that. Maybe when you're watching the bikies beat up one of their victims on the street at night, you could say to the person next to you, lucky that's not us. Do you want to get a drink? Maybe when you're doing a meth deal late at night on Cavill Avenue, you could say to the person you're scoring off, would you like to smoke this with me? I don't know. That's just some of the suggestions of the things you can do in the Gold Coast. I don't know. Solid advice there, Jen, and we hope that you're surrounded by friends in no time.
Oh, what was that? That was just some great advice.
You still make me laugh.
You can read the next one.
Hi, Edie and Moors. Hope I can call you that. I consider you my headphone friends. And boo, Caroline.
We haven't even talked about Caroline tonight.
I haven't talked about Caroline. Caroline, she's in trouble. So I'm not talking to her tonight. You know, you can stay there and you're not eating this week either, Caroline. Back to this letter. A friend of mine has recently started dating a radiologist. And, unfortunately, he's really boring. It's unkind to say, but he's also made my friend boring, and we barely see her anymore. When we do, he's always there, and the minute he opens his mouth, it sucks all the fun out of the room. I don't want them to break up, but I'm at my wit's end trying to work out how to get along with him and make these social catch-ups more fun. Thanks, Kerry.
Kerry, I can sympathise. Edie mentioned before that she's married to a man called Pasco. He's a Spaniard. I can't understand a word he says, and when he does talk, it sounds like what a chalkboard would sound like with nothing happening to it. No one writing on it, no one painting it, no one cleaning it. Just a plain chalkboard. I don't like him. I find him like a void of energy, similar to what you're talking about here.
Maureen, you've never mentioned any of this to me before.
Oh, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to upset you. I'm just helping Kerry out here.
Okay. All right.
And I suppose I can't fully relate. Pasco is not a radiologist.
Yes, he is.
He's a radiologist.
You've never had a proper conversation. I knew that you didn't like him. I knew you wouldn't listen to him. Anyway, keep going, keep going.
What does he do?
Radiology.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes.
Why didn't he say anything?
Every time he comes into a room, he starts screaming and running out.
That's right, yes, because he's boring.
And saying, I hate you, you're taking my best friend away from me. Oh, you're the worst. Oh, I don't want to see you anymore, Pasco. I'm going. Bye.
So I think that's a bit of good advice for you, Kerry.
Speaking of Pasco, he once confided in me that he doesn't like one of my friends. He didn't want to say who, because he didn't want to upset me or my friend, but he said he thinks one of my friends isn't very nice. But he said to me the only reason that he still talks to this woman is because she can smuggle 3 rotisserie chickens out of a Coles in a swimsuit without anyone noticing. And Pasco loves rotisserie chickens. He cannot get enough of them. So he gets something out of that relationship. Kerry, so, you know, he's putting something into it with, you know, having to listen to this boring person drone on about how dull their life is and blah, blah, blah. I was on reality radio, whatever this person's talking about, but he gets chicken out of it. He gets room temperature, sort of covered in anus oil chickens out of it. So maybe try and find something that you... Maybe do you need to see a radiologist, Kerry? Maybe you ask
yes.
for a free radiology examination from...
Break your arm!
That's right, and go in and say... Well, and then at least it's worth knowing this person, Kerry. Make the relationship transactional, Kerry. That's what I'd do. If you're not sure how to do that, find a gay man. There's plenty of closeted ones on the Gold Coast. They'll be in the goofy costume down at Warner Brothers. Find a gay man. They are very good at having transactional relationships.
Yep. And when this gay man doesn't need you, you won't hear from them. And what a blessing in the situation that you're in. They won't talk to you when they don't need to.
They only talk to you when they need something. And it's okay to talk about them on podcasts because, you know, they don't actually listen to your podcast. They just pretend they do.
So I hope that's helped, Kerry. Break your arm, get a podcast. What else have we got here? I'll have the next one. Our neighbours have recently adopted a dog that won't stop barking. I do feel sorry for the dog, but it's becoming unbearable. I am sure they're doing their best, but I feel I need to bring it up with them. How should I do that? And that's from Cayenne. Is Cayenne the place that they're writing the letter from, or is that their name? K-Y-A-N-N-E.
I think sort of Mum wanted a Kylie, Dad wanted an Anne, and they sort of fought over the birth certificate and got a Cayenne.
You poor fucking girl. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, okay, back to the dog.
I think don't talk to them about it. Befriend the dog, Cayenne. Maybe give it some lovely treats. I've got a beautiful recipe for French onion soup, lots of onions in it. A nice bit of dessert with some chocolate would be very good as well, Cayenne. What else could you give the dog, Maureen?
What else? Hang on a minute. What is poisonous to dogs? some gifts you could give to the dogs. Artificial sweeteners? maybe? Avocado, corn on the cob, mushrooms, alcoholic beverages, lilies, azaleas, garlic.
Oh, there you go, some azaleas. Take some azaleas. No one will suspect you if you do that. Take some azaleas over, befriend the dog, feed it the azaleas, and you will not hear that dog barking anymore, Kyan.
You know what dogs love for a gift? Fertilizer.
Fertiliser, nice.
They're obsessed with it.
Lob a 4 kilo bag of fertiliser over the fence, Kyan, and see what happens.
I appreciate what you're saying, Edith. I think that's, you know, this is not bad advice. Gift the dog things, you know. Try to swoon it off its feet and into a box. But I take a bit of a different lens. I mean, you're a patron of the RSPTA, Edith. You know, you're a bit of a soft touch with animals. I take a bit of a different approach, and I can speak from great experience on how to resolve this issue. I've had 3 houses that I've lived in my life where there has been a dog barking at all hours. I mean, just an unbearable amount of barking, and I've solved it every single time. Here's what I do. I don't even involve my neighbour. I don't go and knock on their door. I don't go and call them. I don't write them a letter. I don't acknowledge them. I go straight to the source of the problem. I walk up the driveway of my neighbour's house. I lean over that side gate that goes into their backyard where the little mongrel is barking and whatever, and I bark back at it. And I bark in all different types of barks. I don't really know how to speak in dog. I don't know how to communicate in barks. But eventually you're going to get it right. If you make enough sounds, you will make the noise that dogs understand as being quiet. You go, that means quiet in dog.
Right.
Unless it is a toy poodle, they go, arr! That means quiet for toy poodles, but all other breeds of dog, it is. So, really, at the end of the day, Kyan, my advice is break into your neighbour's property, climb over the side fence, and start barking at a dog. Oh, and also on the way out, make sure you say, ruff, 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 ruff. That means, have a great day, and I hope you have a happy Christmas to you and yours in Dog Talk.
And now a word from one of our sponsors.
Pilot Week is back on 10, showcasing real-life Australian stories with our first ever bottom-of-the-barrel reality show Pilots Week. Go inside one of Australia's favourite supermarkets on Monday night with It's Coles in Here. Oh, we take great customer experience so seriously here, and I couldn't do it without my team. The team are the energy that keeps the lights on in this place. From the checkouts to the warehouse, get an inside glimpse into how your groceries make it to the shelf so everyday Aussies can feed their families.
First item on the agenda, send all of your staff home immediately. We need to bring the wage budget down or else we are going to go completely skint broke. We'll have to close down every shop. We'll have to close down all of the warehouses because we have absolutely no profit margin. Now, settle down. Don't you think we've thought of what to do if we have no staff? Head office have told us that they're extending the idea of self-serve checkouts to, well, everywhere. We'll just get our customers to unload the trucks.
Thursday night, we hit the road for a close-up look at one of Australia's most underappreciated jobs. The guy who takes all the grease away from the takeaway shops. That's right, it's Fat Trap Truckers.
Yeah, I'm here on a UCO extraction job. I should clarify what UCO is for the non-fat trap cleaners out there. It stands for used cooking oil. So, yeah, we're here on a UCO extraction job and have come across a serious blockage. It's not uncommon with this chain of restaurants, so we should be done here in the next half hour or so.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the blockage?
Yeah, it's a 12-year-old burger flipper who got sucked down the drain.
Bottom of the Barrel Reality Week on 10 and 10 Play starts Monday, December 4th at 7:30.
So anyway, I mean, I walked into the bedroom, and there he's sitting there rubbing black bird polish on his willy.
Oh, really?
You know, I said, Ernie, you've got to get your hearing aid fixed. I told you to turn your clock back.
Oh, we're back on air, hello, listeners.
Sorry, hi, everybody.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of Granny Bingo Wireless. I hope you've all enjoyed it. I know, it's sad, but if you have enjoyed having Nana come in your ear this week, you can, of course, come and see us live. We've got all sorts of shows coming up. If you're in Sydney, of course, you can see us on Friday the 8th of December. That's only a few days away, so jump onto our socials and grab a ticket now. We're at the Universal on Oxford Street, and we'll be playing a fabulous night of Bingo Darlings.
If you've been to our show, if you're listening from anywhere else that's not Sydney, if you've been to one of our shows before, you know what to expect. Tell your friends and family to come along. There's plenty of space and we'd love to see them, even though they're from Sydney.
Yeah, when Maureen says there's plenty of space, what she's trying to tell you is we may have overestimated our popularity in Sydney West. Melbourne shows are selling out like crazy, but Nana could potentially be in a lot of debt in Sydney, so please do come along. If you are in Melbourne, of course, our Christmas shows are now sold out, both of them, so too late, should have booked earlier. Of course, our January Granny Bingo, which is on January the 8th, is on sale, but we're also very excited to announce that we have a fabulous brand new show happening. It's a collaboration we're doing with a group called Gay Life Drawing Melbourne.
It's what, sorry?
Don't let the name scare you off. They are some fabulous life drawing instructors. So we will be their models for the afternoon. So you'll come along. You can either bring your own pencils and paper, or you can use the pencils and paper that they supply. And Maureen and I will be getting our kit off, and you'll be able to draw us in the buff. So it's half comedy show, half actual life drawing class. You will actually be doing some life drawing. You can grab some tickets. That's happening as part of Midsummer Festival, so that's in, I think, the end of January, start of February.
Sounds gay. I'm in.
Grab some tickets at midsummer.org.au for that one. It's called Granny Bingo X Gay Life Drawing. So come along. We'd love to see you, but otherwise we'll be back here next week with another fabulous episode, darlings. Make sure you do tune in next week. I'll be teaching you how to knit a cable knit G-string.
And I'll be explaining how paint dries in real time.
And of course, I'll be angle grinding the enamel off Caroline's teeth. But until then, kiddies, keep safe. Love you lots. Ta-ta.
Goodbye. So I hope that's helped, Kerry.
Next one. Do I need to cut that bit out?
Nope, it's fine.
All right.